A reading from Radharas Sudaniti, new verse number 37, discussing more of the intimate sevas of Radha and Krishna. This is Vasant Tilak Chandas. The different verses have different poetic meters or chandas by which they are chanted. This one is like Brahma Samhita, like the previous one, 32. Vasant Tilak Chandas. Patravalim Rachyatum Kuchiyo Kapole Vadam Vichitcha Kavarim Navamalikabi Angam Chabushayatum Abaraner Dritashe Sri Radhike Mai Videhi Kripavalokam Sri Radhike Mai Videhi Kripavalokam. Translation. O Sri Radhike, I desire to paint rows of leaves on your cheeks and your breasts, and to weave a garland of Malika flowers into your stylish hair braid. And I desire and I want to decorate your body with different ornaments. Please cast a merciful glance upon me. In the previous verse that we discussed yesterday, verse 32, was also about intimate sevas of Radharani, helping her in Abhisar and decorating a kunj with a bed of flowers and leaves and collecting Krishna from his getting lost or whatever in the forest. So this is more intimate services, very personal, even more intimate. These are, again, this is another prayer for seva and mercy. And we've written in our notes that these two principles of seva and mercy, they're integral parts of bhakti. And they're interdependent on each other. The more mercy a devotee receives, the more seva he performs. Seva is mercy. Because in the spiritual world, the devotees have the most mercy of Krishna. And they're doing seva all the time. And the more attentive, this is the interrelationship, the more seva, the more mercy. The more mercy, the more seva. Now, when we do our seva, if it's done very attentively and caringly and selflessly, then that we do this service, then we attract the mercy. He or she attains more mercy from Sri Hari and Sri Guru and the Vaishnavas. It's very common to see that those devotees that are very enthusiastic to do service for Sri Guru, they are asked by Guru to do lots of service. And sometimes they, quote unquote, burn out because their service and mercy has not matched the realization of their identity. Because we have not fully identified that I am nothing but a servant. That's it. Because ego doesn't allow us to fully identify with that. There's two positions we move between, enjoyer and servant. They're competing for our attention. This is the struggle of the Vaishnava. The struggle of enjoyment and service. It's often commonly seen. New devotee comes very enthusiastic and all the old devotees, the old monkeys in the group, they just sit around, not do much, do the basics. Radhe Radhe. So there's a relationship between kripa and seva. So Guru, when he sees the utsaha, the enthusiasm for seva, then he'll say, oh, take more seva. But sometimes we have a saturation point. We say, oh, stop, no more seva. And then we understand, when we think we have too much seva, that means we haven't realized that we're a servant. When we think I have Krishna or Guru has given me too much seva, and why? What do we usually say? I have too much seva. I don't have time for my self. Well, what is a self but a serving entity? So this is this whole book and all the books of the Goswamis and the hankering and Manjari Sru Bhajan. They say, give me mercy, give me seva, and I'm meditating on the seva, and then by your mercy I see it, I enter it, I perceive it. It's a vision, it's a reality, it's a sporty, strong, tangible, real vision. Momentary entrance into the Nitya Leela of Radha and Krishna. And I'm there, I'm taking a direct personal part. I'm brushing Radharani's hair and painting her face with leaves and decorating her and escorting her on her love journey to meet Krishna. And I'm giving her tango and hundreds of sevas we may see in meditation by the mercy of Krishna and Radha. And then they may go, disappear, where it went. Then there's lamentation. So this is the first line. We discuss line by line to rasa niryas. Rasa swadna niryas. Niryas means to extract the ras, the flavor, the taste, the meaning, the bhav behind each line, each word. What is the meaning for me? What is the practical application in my life? How will it change the content of my feelings? How will it expand it? How will it expand the limit of my thinking? How will it shape the form of my prayers? This is how shlokas and how deep study creates a reaction in us. We discuss the concept of rasa niryas because this is one of the reasons why Lord Krishna came as Lord Gauranga. So there's one verse that says, prema rasa niryas. Rag marg bhakti prachar, raganuga bhakti prachar, prema rasa niryas. We discussed this before. He came to preach raganuga bhakti in the mood of the gopis, radadasyam. And he came with Krishna's desire to relish Radharani's mahabhav, aswadan, to taste her ras, his madhurya ras. And niryas means to extract. And the analogy it's given, which we're repeating, maybe you heard before. It's very easy to see it in India. The sugarcane wala, the sugarcane, he takes it one time, long, full, and puts it through the grinders. You have sound effect and everything. And then it comes some juice. And then he takes it and he folds it in half and puts it through. And he takes that half and folds that half in quarters. And he puts it between these steel rollers which compress and extract every single drop. And when it's done, it's drier than sawdust. There's not a drop of moisture in that cane sugar stalk. It's dry, rasa-less. That's niryas. That's extracting every drop of ras. So Lord Krishna came as Gauranga, prema ras niryas, to squeeze and taste every drop of the beautiful prema ras, madhurya prema, parakiya bhav of Radharani's heart, her beautiful heart. He didn't want to miss one drop. So precious, so attractive, so sweet, so valuable, so desirable. So this is why Krishna came as Gauranga. And preaching Harinam Sankirtan, these are the external reasons. But internally, there's another purpose. So in line one, Saraswati Pad is expressing his desire as a sadhaka and sharing with us his experience as a premika or a siddha. So line one is he's expressing this seva, which is much more intimate than the previous one of simply escort seva for Radharani to the Nikunj Abhisaritam. Nikunjam Abhisaritam. Escorting Radharani, then collecting Krishna, and making a flower bed, that's not so intimate. But here he's saying, Patravalim Rachiyatum Kuchiya Kapole. It's right there, the mantra is right touching, directly touching Radharani's body. I want to touch your cheeks. Kapole means cheeks. And the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, the story of Dhruv, as they say in India. Dhruv. We say Dhruva. They say Dhruv. Dhruv Maharaj, Dhruva, who was a boy wonder, who was a 5-year-old yogi, who was fully in control of his senses, and so much so that he terrorized the whole universe. And he inhaled in his pranayama, and he absorbed every single bit of air in the entire universe. The demigods couldn't even breathe. And they complained to Vishnu, this little yogi, he's doing pranayama, but we can't breathe. Now that's really a master of pranayama. When you do the rechaka and kumbhaka or whatever it is, and you take one breath and you take all the oxygen of the entire universe, they're all choking, Brahma and Shiva and Indra. Oh, I can't breathe. And there's a little boy in Madhavan in Vrindavan making a big scene. He's terrorizing the whole universe. 5-year-old boy sitting in Dhruva Tila, a small hillock in Madhavan near Mathura. So finally Vishnu came, gave him darshan, said, what do you want? And he was stunned, and he was exhibiting sattvic vikara stamba. He was stunned, he was speechless. Vishnu, I've been meditating on you for so long with such intense austerity, now you're giving me darshan. But his mind was telling him, I want to offer prayers, I want to pray to you. You're my Lord. You're Lord Vishnu, Bhagavan. He couldn't speak anything. His tongue was frozen, he was tied. So there, it's told in the Bhagavatam, fourth canto, that Vishnu, because Vishnu has four objects in his four hands, and club, and gada, and his padma, lotus, and conch, shank, and the chakra. So for devotees, he has two. The conch shell is for devotees, shank, and the padma, lotus, is for devotees. And for the non-devotees, there's the club and the chakra. But for devotees, he blows the conch shell and says, don't be afraid, I'm right there. Always. I'm my devotee, never perishes. Don't be afraid. The conch shell announces victory. The conch shell of Vishnu announces victory for the surrendered soul, the bhakta, the devotee. And the lotus flower is for ashirvad, blessing. Krishna touches us with his mercy, then our consciousness blooms like a lotus flower. The proverbial Sahasra Padma Chakra of the yogi, the realized yogi, expands his chakra of his head. I forgot the name of that one. Sahasra Padma. So when the devotee is touched by the lotus flower of Krishna, or Radharani, she has a Leela Kamal, a play lotus, a pastime lotus, she twirls in her hand. And if that lotus touches the devotee, then they get Kripa Siddhi. Go back to Dhruva. So Dhruva Maharaj was stuttering and stunned. So Vishnu took his conch shell and he says, Kapola Sparsha, Shankha Kapola Sparsha. He touched his conch shell to Dhruva's cheek, Kapola, and then he started speaking Sanskrit shlokas in praise of Lord Vishnu, the magic. Mukam karoti vachalam pangam langayate garam yat kripatavaham bande shri garundinataranam. There's one verse from Bhavishyotara Upanishad, or Bhavishyotara Tapani, whatever. It's a glorification of Guru. Mukam karoti vachvam pangam langayate gurim. By the mercy of Guru, a fool can speak beautiful poetry. A lame man can cross over mountains, and a blind man can see the stars in the sky. Mukam karoti vachvam pangam langayate gurim. Yakripatuham vande. So the mercy of Vishnu or the devotee makes amazing things happen. So Saraswati Pad is praying, O Radharani, when can I get an opportunity to paint a row of leaves on your cheeks and on your breasts? There's so many beautiful designs. So this first verse, the first line of the verse, Patralam Rachiyatum Kuchiya Kapole. Kapole means cheek, as I mentioned. Kapole. It describes the first desired service by the Kinkari, who I use the term Navadasi. So Navadasi means new maidservant, you or me or anyone. Because his desire, Saraswati Pad, should become the shape of our desire. I want to do this also. And I will do this. Someday I will do this. I'll do it now in my prayers. I will render this service now to Radharani, my prayers, when I recite and remember and read these prayers from Stavavali by Raghunath Das and Prarthana by Narottam Das and this Radharasura Nidhi by Saraswati Pad. I'm reading them and I'm meditating and I'm desiring and I'm praying, and someday I will directly do. We have to see. You have to see what you want to be. Then you may become. That's a nice phrase. You have to see what you want to be, then you may become. Right? So if you have no picture, it's called ideal. Your ideal. They say that a human being is only as big as his ideal. If your ideal is small, you're small. You're nowhere. If your ideal is big, you may reach it. You may attain it. But if you think small, you'll be small. You think big, and Krishna wants you to be big, you'll be big. But he won't make you big if you're not thinking big. Everything's fine. I'm cool. I'm okay. Kamsa, kamsa. What more I need? I'm like Mr. Happy, Mr. Happy-go-lucky. I'm on the top of the world. I have got everything. But devotee thinks I'm on the bottom. Trinadapi Sunichena. Sunichena means the bottom of the bottom. And I have nothing. And I'm begging for kincha, 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 something, cut something. So in this particular verse, Radharani, it's a very personal one. And Radharani is exhibiting here a mood of Swadina Bratrika, which our acharyas are indicating. There's a whole leela that we'll read about behind this beautiful shloka. After Radharani and Krishna enjoy intimately together, then Radharani, sometimes she becomes very bossy and very commanding and dictating. And Krishna loves it. There's nothing more than a man likes than an aggressive, commanding, bossy woman. If a woman is just submissive and humble, it's so boring. I mean, it's a certain lakshana, a certain characteristic, but that shouldn't be there all the time. It has to be some fire and some feisty moods, and that variety is the mother of enjoyment.
Wow, that's pretty mighty wind there.
Variety is the mother of enjoyment. No variety, no pleasure. If you eat rice every day, you may get bored after a few days. Plain white rice. So you want a little variety. That's nature. So Radharani is in this mood, and which means controlling and ordering whom? Her servant. And who's Radharani's servant? Krishna. Krishna is Radharani Dasi. Radharani. Everyone's Krishna Das, and Krishna is Radharani Dasi. That's nice. Everyone is jivaras. Every jiva is jivara swarupaya Krishna or Nitya Das. Everyone's eternally, knowingly or unknowingly serving Krishna's mayak energy, his mahamaya or his yogamaya. Eternally here, eternally there. Seva's going on. Never stops. We never stop living. We're eternal, here or there. Serving maya or serving Krishna. And Krishna is also Nitya Das. He's also eternally serving Radharani and all the gopis. So Radharani is, after her yugal's amorous enjoyments, Radha is all disheveled, and her clothes are scattered here and there in a flower bed. And so now she orders, at this time, Ishvari orders Shyam, "Look, you rubbed off the pictures off my cheeks and my breasts and the designs like Makari." Makari is a female dolphin, the symbol of Cupid. "They were sporting on my cheeks, and the crescent moons and many mango blossoms that were decorating my raised breasts. Now please repaint these decorations, because you removed them, so you should put them back." So Achyuta, this is a word they use in the Tika, very nice name, because Achyuta is a name for Krishna. Achyuta means infallible, doesn't fail. But we have heard a very nice meaning of this word. It usually means one who doesn't fail. But we heard a description once by some acharya, I can't remember. He said Achyuta means he is the only person in the universe, Krishna, Achyuta Krishna, Achyuta Sri Krishna, is the only person in the universe who never fails to reciprocate with a love offering of his devotees. Other people, you may offer so much love to them and you get nothing in return, or you get rejected, or you get insulted, or even so many reactions can come, even when you're offering something beautiful, you're offering something kind and sweet and caring to another person, you may get an opposite reaction. Rather than gratitude and appreciation and loving reciprocation, you may get, as they say, stabbed in the back. This is the reality of this cruel world that we live in. There's a word called tragedy, and everybody can figure out what that means. Everyone has had their own versions of tragedy, at least if you're older than 10 years old. When you're under 10, everything is great. So there she is. So now Krishna, they say, Achyuta picks up the paintbrush, and then the Manjri holds the kasturi, which is musk, black musk liquid, to paint pictures on Radharani's breasts and her cheeks. And so Krishna starts doing that. But as soon as he starts touching Radharani's cheek with a paintbrush, then he starts trembling. He can't even hold a paintbrush. And Krishna has one form as Ananta Shesh, and he's holding up the entire universe. It says that this entire universe with untold millions and millions of planets is just like one mustard seed. It's like one mustard seed on the head of a cobra. It's nothing. But so he can hold up so many millions of universes, but he can't hold a paintbrush. He can't hold a paintbrush in his hand and paint right around his cheeks. He's so much nervous and so much agitated, disturbed, excited. What to speak of when he starts painting here? Then he'll just drop the paintbrush and faint, probably. So then what happens? He's trembling, he starts sweating, he can't hold a paintbrush. But the ever attentive Navadasi, the Kinkari, was observing all this fun, and she slightly but inaudibly laughing right along with Srimati and the other Sakis. Because Krishna looks very funny. He's trembling and he's trying to I gotta do this right. He's trying to look cool and look like he's really composed and peaceful. I know what I'm doing. But he's lost it. And the Mantris and Sakis and Radharani are all fully aware of it, his inability to execute this most simple seva. And they're actually laughing, but inaudibly. And so when the Manjari sees this Leela in her meditation, she prays to Radharani, "Oh Radharani, I see that Krishna's trying to do this service. Why don't you ask me to do this service? Because I won't be nervous. I'll be able to do it properly. Because I learned how to paint your cheeks. Chitrasakhi, she taught me personally. She's your personal designer or decorator or whatever, makeup artist, I guess you call it, in modern vernacular, when there's some play or drama, the makeup artist, who, some lady or gentleman who's very expert at decorating the actors and actresses before they perform their whatever it's called, the Brijbasi Mandali or whatever it is. It's quite a wonderful production, no doubt. Lots of love involved in that. That's the best part of it. The backing of it all. That's what Krishna is appreciating. I saw once on the TV some Goloka Productions or something. I thought, oh, I know the producer of this. It's very good. Just a desire to be part of it and share it and show it, that will send you there directly. You'll play your part, no doubt. So this is, she's praying like that as a chaturi paricharani, which is a term that is used throughout Radha Sunidhi to describe dasi. Kinkari dasi anucharani paricharani. Chara means to move, basically. Brahmachari means one who moves in the Brahman. So chara. So the vanachari means one who is moving in the forest. Grihastha. He leaves the griha, sta. He leaves the grihastha. Sta means situated, standing in the house. Grihastha becomes an vanachari. You ever heard that term? Brahmachari, vanachari. It means he leaves the house and he's still married, but he's moving in the forest, associating with sadhus and rishis, doing some personal tapasya to purify his sins. Visiting holy places, hearing Harikatha, serving sadhus. That's the life of the vanachari, who's in between the ashram of vairagya, detachment, and grihastha life. Vanachari. So anucharani means she follows Radharani one after the other. She's doing this service after that service. Or paricharani means a wide variety, pari. Pari means many omnidirectional sevas. Pari Brajakacharya, Ashutara Sata Sri Srimad, whoever does that. Pari Brajakacharya. So Pari Brajak, Braja means to move, Acharya means to teach. So he's moving and teaching. Where? Pari. Pari means Russia, South America, here, there, India, everywhere. That's Pari Brajak. So now the Manjari is praying and she picks up the paintbrush and she very expertly paints leaves on Radharani's breasts and mango blossoms and crescent moons. And on her cheek she paints Makari on Nagari Mani's breasts and cheeks. And meanwhile, Nagar means the romantic hero, Nagar. Yashamati Nandana Brajabaro Nagara. Vrajavara Nagar. So the Nagar, Sri Shyam, he's watching. Oh, and Manjari, Navadasi, he's doing such an expert job, so carefully, so lovingly, so relaxed. She's not trembling. She's not disturbed. She's not dripping the kasturi down, little drops on Radharani's cheek. She's doing it expertly. So he's appreciating. So that's the seva that's revealed in line one of his meditation and he's sharing it with us. And all of us, many of us have Thakurjis, Thakurani. Then we do our seva for our Murti seva, Sri Murti Puja. And we may paint their faces and decorate them. So that's wonderful, Shringara seva. As below, so above. So in the spiritual world, we're practicing and we're cultivating attachment for these sevas. It's very, very good. And here, of course, that's done externally, especially in sadhaka rupa, murti puja. Because that's one of the nine limbs of devotion. Archanam, Vandanam, Sakyam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atna, Vedanam. So we do Murti Puja, then we chant Astikams and prayers. This Aparad, Shamak, Mantra Hinam, Kriya Hinam, Bhakti Hinam, Janardana, Yat Pujitam, Mayandivam, Pari. Whatever it is. We pray, please forgive me any offenses I've made in this puja. There's several prayers. We pray for forgiveness, Shamak, forgiveness for our offenses, and Vaidhi Sadhana. But in Raghunuga Sadhana, in Raghunuga Bhakti, the primary cultivation, or the main cultivation, is mental. Manasi Seva, the mind. So physical Seva, external Murti Puja, Murti Seva, is meant to make, the purpose of that is to create deep and strong sanskaras in our chitta, in the storage area of our intellect, where all of our activities and experiences are recorded life after life. So we have strong sanskaras. That's why, because of doing something life after life, there's a natural proclivity or inclination to be attracted to that same activity in this life. We see, very, for example, case in point, deity worship or deity puja, murti puja. Indian children at the very earliest age, or maybe children born in devotee families, because they have such extraordinary backgrounds also, especially Indians we see, at the very earliest age, immediately they get their deities and they're doing their puja at 3 years old, 4 years old. They have the little Krishna or Gopal, even Radha and Krishna. It's natural, it's svabhavik. It's in their very nature. How is it? It's in their chitta. It's in their storage. Their sanskaras, their bhakti sanskaras from previous lives. And they immediately fructify as soon as they obtain an external body in this life. Start doing puja. So we're doing all these murti sevas to create these deep samskaras in our chitta. So then when we enter the path of Raghunuga Bhakti, that's why one is given diksha. The purpose of diksha mantras is to do puja. If one is not doing puja, technically you don't need diksha mantras. Chant Hare Krishna. You need to surrender to a guru. You need to get the mercy of guru and blessings of guru, connection with guru. Guru Pada Shraya. Bhakti begins with Guru Pada Shraya. Diksha Adi Shikshanam. So diksha Adi Shikshanam, then the Murti Puja is part of Diksha. But he may just say you chant the holy name and do bhajan, Shravanam Kirtan Vishnu Swaranam Padasevanam. But you don't have personal deities and you're not engaged that way. That's all right. But if you're going to worship deities, then you need to have Diksha mantras, because you can't offer Boga without the Gopal mantra. This is in Shastra. There's some adjustment made in various institutions. They've introduced other mantras to be utilized for the practice of offering bhoga to Thakurjis. And that's also pointing in the right direction. But as far as Shastra go, the Shastras that describe Murti Puja, they say that offerings require the Gopal mantra. So while now we're doing this puja, so when we finally, somehow by the mercy of Krishna and Vaishnavas, we start the path, we start practicing Raghunuga Bhakti, then the practice becomes internal. So all the external seva we did and puja we did, it may become very reduced, a very small amount, minimal amount. Or you may become so absorbed in manasi seva that you give your deities to someone else. Because they become so much strong in your sanskaras, in your chitta, that you immediately close your eyes, you see them, they're already there. The whole practice of external puja is to establish Krishna within your mind and heart. And some devotees have that murti stapana, that form of the Lord is already established in the mind and heart from previous lives. So therefore the puja is quite easy, the mental puja, manasi seva, is quite easy. So they can easily close their eyes and see Krishna and do puja there. So he's praying here, this is all mental, this is all meditative seva. He's praying, when can I do this beautiful service of painting Radharani's breasts and her cheeks with patra means Pachavalim rachiyatam kuchaya kapole. Kuchaya kapole. Kucha and kapole. And patra, leaves. So that's the first line. Second line is badum vichitra. Badum vichitra kabarim navamalikimi. And then I will weave a navamalika, a very fresh garland of malika flowers. And vichitra, very attractive and very stylish, variegated garland of malika flowers. I will weave that into your, I will bind it in your hair braid. You see, of course, and maybe you do also. Ladies, they decorate their hair braid with fragrant flowers, especially in South India, you often see. When you go to temples in South India, the ladies dress up for the pleasure of Vishnu, and they wear flowers, usually mogra or malika, some fragrant flowers, arrangement dangling from the back of their hair or whatever. It looks very attractive. So Radharani, she wears like this. So this is the second service that Saraswati Pad is meditating on and praying for. And actually, when one practices Manasi Seva and doing all the things in the mind, like all these sevas to Radharani in the mind, the form of the Lord becomes, the form of Radhan Krishna or Radharani becomes much stronger imprinted in the mind, even than if you're doing external puja. Because the whole form that you're you have to create that form in your screen of your mind, in the screen of your heart, and every day when you sit to meditate, you recall that form. I once asked my guru. I said, "What form of Krishna should we meditate on when we close our eyes?" He said, "The form that you see in your mind when you close your eyes." I said, "Well, not everybody just closes their eyes." he said that form that arises in your, when you close your eyes, that form of Krishna and Radharani that arises in your mind, that form you worship. I said, okay. I said, what if that doesn't happen spontaneously and automatically? Can you implant, or maybe that's the proper word, can you transport or implant the form of a deity or a photo of a famous deity that you're attracted to in your mind? And he said, that's not the way, but you can, it's better than nothing. He said, because when you're if you have chanted sufficiently, Krishna's form will arise in your mind. It's one thing to read this in the Sandarbhas, Bhakti Sandarbha. Jiva Goswami writes about the krama, the system, the steps of progress in bhajan. As one chants the name, then the form of Krishna will gradually arise from the chanting of the holy name, the form of Radha. And as one goes on, the form will arise, then the form will reveal qualities within your mind and heart. Then eventually the form of Krishna and Radha arising from the pure chanting of the name will start enacting leelas in the mind and heart. When you close your eyes and meditate and chant, or even don't chant, the name will become the roop. The roop will exhibit the qualities, and the qualities will display various pastimes, all which will be seen in the screen of the mind of the meditative Raghunuga Bhakta at a higher, advanced, and purified stage. So the... if that you can do that, but you should, the form of Krishna should be arising, and the form of Radha should be arising in your mind from your chanting. I said, okay, Hare Krishna, more rounds please, more japa please, more rounds, another four, and another four, and another four, and another four, and another four. 4444 64 4444 128. So no matter how you cut it or how you see it or how you try to bend it or reshape it or modify it or reduce it or make it easier, the bottom line is chant and chant some more. As difficult it is, as tasteless as it is, as no, we have no attraction, no interest, no ruchi, but there is no other way. Brihad Naradiya Purana says that is it. There's no way out. There's, you can't go invent something new or try something different. No matter what you do, you're going to get back to square one. Chant Hare Krishna. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir, Gatir, Anyata. Anyata means not other, no other. There is no other way. Harinam, 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 Harinam. Chant till your head falls off, and then keep chanting. Chant till your tail falls off, and keep chanting. Chant till your arms fall off. Keep chanting. Chant till your legs fall off. And keep chanting. Chant till your body falls off. And keep chanting. I get a new body. And start chanting again. And finally, we'll get a spiritual body. And we'll be in a spiritual world. And what will we chant? Govinda Dhamma Dharamadaveti. Govinda Dhamma Dharamadaveti. That's like this. So in line 2, he's saying, I want to braid your hair. It's not a big thing. I want to put some flowers in your hair. Can I do that? Like your daughter might say, oh, mommy, you know, can I put some flowers in your hair? It's innocent enough. It's simple enough. Yeah, okay. Do it right. Yeah, I'll do a good job. So here's a little girl. She's 12 years old. She's not your daughter. It's you. You're the kinkari. You're the maidservant of Radharani. And this is your big sister. It's your Sakhi. Sakhi means my girlfriend. Don't get too distant from all these Sanskrit terms and make it too complicated. Oh, Sakhis and Mandris. No, it's one young teenage girl and another prepubescent girl. One 12-year-old girl, one 14-year-old girl. Rani's 14, the Mandri's 12. It's sisterly love. It's sakyaras. It's dasya ratiyas. The maid servants are there. We're her friends. She loves. Radharani loves the Manjaris. She loves us. We're her sisters. We're her friends. We're with her all the time. We live with Radharani 24 hours a day. It's like Radharani doesn't move anywhere without her Manjaris. Krishna may not be there. Astasakis may not be there. And so many mothers and grandmothers, they're hardly ever there. But Manjaris are always there. We never lose sight of Radharani. We never stop hearing Radharani's heartbeat. We never stop seeing Radharani's smile and face and facial expressions. We never stop hearing Radharani's heartbeat. I said that. Everything, the Manjari is right there with Radharani. Reflecting everything, resonating every vibration of Radharani, reflecting every mood of Radharani, feeling every feeling of Radharani, sharing every thought of Radharani, planning every plan of Radharani, executing every will of Radharani. This is the Manjari. And just like, this is Tadatmyam. What is Tadatmyam? Bhav Tadatmyam. It means one. Vishaka, Vishaka, Shaka. Shaka means branch. And branches of a tree are called Shaka. And if you say, you talk about the Dwadasa Gopals, different Shakas, different branches of Gopals. So V means without, no branch. Vishaka is born the same day as Radharani, the same time as Radharani, the same place as Radharani. The same bhav as Radharani, the same mood as Radharani, the same complexion as Radharani. She's situated. Vishaka is standing and situated in the place of Radharani's shadow. I'm standing here, my shadow is here. The shadow, the second Radharani is Vishaka. What to speak of the mantras? Because Vishaka is Nashtasaki, a Nayaka. She has her own intimate relationship with Krishna. But so she, there is some small distance in bhav. But the Manjaris are bhav tadatmyam. Only the Manjaris are bhav tadatmyam with Radharani. They're One like Rishaka in every way, but then one with her heart and her feelings. This is the most beautiful merging. Talk about merging and oneness. This is the ultimate oneness, the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, the simultaneous oneness and difference. Amandri is one and Radharani is one. They're separate, but they're one in everything else. It's a dynamic reality that we're all aspiring for. So in this line too, we were writing here, the Amandri is meditating upon Radharani's Kesh Seva. This is needed many times throughout the day and night. It's a very valuable seva. Everything in Vrindavan is characterized by freshness and newness. That's what we see everywhere in Sanskrit. Nava, nava, nava. Anurag. Not rag, but anurag. Newer. Anu means repeated. Newer, newer. Rag, attachment. Nava. Nava Nikunja. Nava Lata Mandir. Nava Yovanam. Nava, nava, nava. Nava Yovanam Sri Krishna. He's ever fresh, ever useful. Nava Lata Mandir. The Mandir is made of creepers, but always fresh and new creepers. And everything is new and fresh. So not only freshness and newness, but also in seva, varieties of sevas and the intensities of loving moods, attractions, and attachments, which are ever renewing themselves and expressing themselves in newer and more flavorful, tasty ways. The whole dynamics of the spiritual world and the exchanges is so captivating and so inconceivably wonderful that you can't help but become mad to go there and mad to be part of it. And the more we hear about it, and the more we reflect upon it, the more our hearts will race in that direction. Especially when we become fixed in our bhajan, fixed in our goal, fixed in our bhajan, fixed in our sangha. When all these things are adjusted and coordinated, then our path is wide open and we can move very quickly on the path. When guru, proper adjustment of guru, proper adjustment of sadhana, proper adjustment of goal. When all three of these are in perfect adjustment, then you go very fastly on the path of self-realization. I've seen this from my own experience. That's why I'm not reading this, I'm saying this. And what I'm writing is what I'm also having some idea about. So in this verse, Navadat, these are basically my commentaries on these verses I'm reading and speaking of. In this verse, Navadasi, Radharani's Kinkari, is weaving Malika flowers in Radharani's beautiful hair braid. And then next time it'll be Bakul flowers, and the next time she'll put peacock feathers, or sometimes Gunjamala, Nava, 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 Nava. Something new, something new, something new. And each time it's so pleasing to Radharani. So there's so many, these are all described, and there's many more unlimited styles and arrangements that can be done with Radharani's hair braid. I mean, the sky, they have this phrase, the sky is the limit. I mean, the sky is limitless. Where does it end? It goes on and on. So seva and the varieties of seva for Radharani, for her pleasure and satisfaction, happiness, they go on and on and on. Oh, today I'll weave this. Oh, today I'll weave a gunjamala in one side, and then one side will be a gunjamala and the other side will be a bakulamala. That's the unlimited realm of meditation. Because the external world, if you're sitting somewhere in Europe and there's snow everywhere, Where do you go get a Nava Gunjamala? Where do you pick a fresh Gunjamala? There's snow everywhere. Here, you go to the Manasa market. You go to the Manasa market. The Manasa market means the big shop, you know, the mall, Manasa Mall. Manasa means mind. You go to the big mall store in your mind. And there's a brand new Gunjamala store that just opened up. They have racks and racks of just plain white gunjamalas, and racks of just red and black ones, and racks of mixed ones, and all combinations. He just, oh, I want five of these and five of these. How much? Oh, it's 10 rupees. So in a Manasa shop, in a Manasa mall, you can collect unlimited paraphernalia for Radharani Seva. There's no shortage. That's why external puja and external seva is so limited. It's a limited realm. What can you do externally is limited. How strong are you? How wealthy are you? How much resources do you have? How much facility do you have? It's all limited in every way. And even the availability of quality and worthy things to offer to Radha and Krishna. Where do you get pure saffron? Where do you get pure chandan? Where do you get pure milk? Where do you get so many things? Musk, where do you get musk? Kasturi, all these things, kunkum, where do you get pure kunkum? It's all just some red chemical powder. All these things are very dear and rare and impossible to find. And every day they're disappearing more and more and becoming more and more costly. When I first came to India in 77, I was buying Didi paraphernalia. So we bought marked, certified Mysore, because the Mysore government was controlling. Then they sold it to the Karnataka Silk Works. But originally the Mysore government, which was under the control of the king of Mysore, they were selling pure sandalwood. So you could buy 1 liter of pure sandalwood oil, really amazing fragrance, I can't forget to this day. Pure sandalwood, 1 liter for 7,000 rupees. Big aluminum can, maybe you've seen. Big can like that, we buy 3 or 4 or 5, 6 liters. And just the cork, it had a piece of cork, you know, cork, this little brown thing. And you just go, oh, you practically faint. It was so fragrant, so cooling. Now you can't even buy pure sandalwood oil. And if you could buy 1 liter, God, I don't know what it would cost. I can't imagine. I don't know. 7 lakhs or something like that. 8 lakhs. 7,000 rupees to 8 lakhs. 800,000 lakhs. 800,000 rupees. If you can, and you won't even be the same. So, but here, everything is best for Krishna. And we know that that's the principle of devotion. You never offer anything used to Guru. You never offer anything used to Krishna. It's always the best that you can buy. Whatever the best thing you can buy is some 10 rupee mala. What do you offer a 10 rupee mala? If you have more money, offer a 100 rupee mala. A big long one or whatever, but special one. They have all different prices. So this is, the Manasi world is so beautiful. It's such a beautiful realm of seva and unlimited paraphernalia and unlimited variegatedness. So this is what we're saying here. He's saying, I will weave a garland of flowers in your stylish hair braid. So the Mandri is praying, the Sadaka Mandri is praying and expressing her desires for seva, that she wants to do this for Radha's sweet for her pleasure, the sweet personal seva. And I have a small comment which I mentioned yesterday about the ocean of desire. This whole material universe is floating in the ocean of desire. I think it would coming from here. But desires, this is all we have. We're full of so many selfish material desires. Desires can free one or desires can enslave one. So this is the whole idea of these books, is to change the type of desires we have and change the quality of our desires so we can become free from this whole material samsara by desiring all like these books. All these books and these sevas are teaching us how to desire, how to think, how to want. Because we have already so many inbuilt wants and so many inbuilt quote-unquote needs. But when these books and these desires for seva become our needs and our wants, then we'll see how our minds become very pure just by changing the course of our desires. That's why we're told by our acharyas, by our Raghunuga gurus, that we should read these books over and over again. These prayers, there's a selected group of prayers, and you read them over and over again. When will I do this seva? When will I do that seva? When will I do this and that seva? I want this. Because everywhere he's saying, when, kada, or kabe, which means, when will I do this? And he's also saying, I want to do this. I want to do this seva. So we're we're kind of programming our mind and our hearts, because what's in our minds and hearts is unlimited storehouse of selfish desires that we've collected. We've collected a huge storehouse of desires there in our chitta, a huge storehouse of desires over many, many thousands and thousands of births. It's all there. We can't deny it, despite how many lakhs and lakhs of holy name we may be chanting. Still, that reservoir is like, how many drops of water are there in the Atlantic Ocean? Many drops, millions. So how many desires are there, known and unknown? You rest in at night and so many amazing, weird and strange things manifest in the subtle plane of dreams. And it's just some little bubbles. Those are just some bubbles coming up in a mountain lake due to the fermentation of the leaves that have fallen there in the bottom. The leaves of the trees surrounding that lake, they fall and decompose in the bottom of the lake with the mud and the sulfur and all these things. And little gas bubbles, boop, boop, little gas bubbles come to the surface of the lake, boop, boop. You must have seen if you have any nature experience. So this lake is a lake of consciousness, the lake of the sanskar, and these bubbles are desires. Toot, toot, toot. So when we sleep, then that lake, we're not watchful. We can't watch what bubbles come up in that lake. When we're conscious, we have an opportunity to control our bubbles, control our desires that may arise in our consciousness. When we're sleeping, boop, boop, they may come up. All these bubbles are the fermented desires in the bottom of our lake of our consciousness from this life and last life. And it combines in so many amazing ways. Half the dream you're a devotee and half the dream you're a karmi, and you're overlaying identities in different places and planes. And what was it and what is it? Who was I there and how many identities I had, and who are those people? What was I doing? So this is the vast uncharted region of the subconscious. So we really have a lot of re-grooving to do and re-carving of our chitta. It's like sculpting. Sadhana is a type of sculpting. You know, a sculptor, he takes some marble and he chips at it and he has a picture of what he wants in his mind. I'm going to make this murti of Krishna. And he's cutting away, chipping. So sadhana is we're sculpting our chitta. We're sculpting our subconsciousness with these desires. That's why we take one verse like this and we just chant and we try to see every aspect of it. We try to feel every aspect of it. And we pray, we mix the vision, we mix the meditation with prayers and hankering. And can we see this? And we take the position, we approach this verse, this seva aspiration verse, from different angles. What is the content of the verse? What is a seva? Then I'm there and I'm doing this seva, and how am I doing it? And who is with me and who is watching me? What is Radharani looking like and what I'm dressed like? And it becomes, this is absorption. And all these thoughts, every thought is called a manovritti. Manovritti means a wave of thought, manovritti. So every thought we make, it registers, makes a hairline etching in our chitta, every thought. So that's why Krishna says, always think of me, manmanava mamad bhakto, manmanava mamad bhakto, madhyaji mam namaskuru, mame vaisyasi satyam te prati jane priyosime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me, obeisance to me. And this way you'll come to me, and you'll be very dear to me. So this type of thinking and analyzation and absorption in every aspect of one particular shloka, it's so much purifying for the chitta, because it's creating so many new layers of thought, new layers of thought, new layers of desire, new layers of feeling, and new layers of inner experience. This is what means sadhana. This is the meaning of sadhana. Cultivation, practice, meditation. So we're out of time today. We'll continue more tomorrow on this verse. And line 3, we have more to say on line 3 and then line 4 of verse 37 of Radharas Sudaniti. Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe.